Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. But who is he? Who is he? And who is he to you? You see, who he is to me may not be who he is to you. But because of who he is to me, I give him praise. So because of who he is to you, you give him praise. See, to me, he may be my salvation. But to you, he may be your provider. For the next person over there, he might be his comforter. For the next guy out there, he's his helper. But you see, if we come to know him and love him, then we will find out in due time that he is all of those things for all of us. But we accept him for who he is to us when we accept him into our heart. And that's where we have to meet people at. Meet them at their place, at their own level. Don't try to convince them to accept Christ as you do or for the reason you did. Let them accept Christ for their reason. He is the God of gods. He is the Almighty God. So we have to accept him for who he is to us. That is our mission, and that is part of our walk with Christ, because we love him because of who he is to us. So embrace him this morning and revisit the reason why you came to him. And then share that vision with somebody that you meet today. Talk about Jesus in your spare time. Bring someone to Christ so that they can be where you are. That was his last mandate on this planet, for us to go into all the world and make disciples. And that's how we do it, by telling them who he is to us, and then let him be to them who he is to them. And when they learn more about him, he will become more to them as he is to you. Because for us, he is our all in all. He is the Almighty God. In the book of Romans, in chapter 8 and verse 31, I want to read to you this morning. What shall we then say to these things? What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What things? What things is he talking about? He is talking about the things that are the purpose of God. Watch. In verse 28, it says here, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Those are the things. Those are the things. And, verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So you see, it don't matter where you are. God be with you. He who is for you is a million times greater than all who can be against you. You see, he who is for you is a million times greater than all that can be against you. That's one of our assurances of Christ. And we hold true to that saying that if God is with me, who can be against me? Well, let me point out to you this morning that everybody, anybody can be against you, but to no avail. Thus, why he gave us his only son. If he gave us his son, his own son, will he not also freely give us all things? And when you stop and think about that, think of the advantage of knowing that everything is within your reach. Everything is within your reach, because if he gave you his only son, then what won't he give you? And he wants us to know that everything, every obstacle can be removed. Every obstacle can be removed. So he takes us to a place where the difficulties are and where things are so difficult that there's no human possibility. So you know no way out. It is only God who can bring you through because of his word. Matthew 28:20. Lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of time. Now you see, when we hear that and know that, then we should respond and move toward that. We should hear that and respond to that and move toward that. That, lo, I will be with you always. And if he is with us, then who can be against us? So we can go out into the world knowing that everything is within our reach, because he will freely give us all things. But we don't know that. We don't take that and move forward. We hear that and then debate on whether or not we should move forward. That is that demon doubt and fear that enters into each and every one of us. When we hear a good thing, we decide, well, wait a minute, I better investigate. Why? He's already told you that he would be with you. He's already said that he would freely give you all things. I'm saying that we have got to get out of that mold of trying to put down every good thing. Because he said in that time, in the last days, we will call the good bad and the bad good. So you see, when we hear something, we decide that it's too good to be true or it's too bad to try. But where have you read in the Bible, anywhere, where it says that you are a sinner, you're a rotten sinner, you're no good? But we humble ourselves by saying that about ourselves. He only talks about us being saints and the children of God. But you ask us who we are, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. The Bible never tells you that you are a sinner saved by grace, because if the Bible tells you that, then the Bible becomes a liar, and then we can't trust it. You see, because there's no way possible for you to be a sinner if you've been saved. You're either one or the other. And the saving is because that you were a sinner. I'm talking about owning and operating in what God has given us to get us through this tedious journey called life and stop us from hindering ourselves by placing everything against us. Oh, I don't know if that'll work or not. Well, it's definitely not going to work for you, because you're standing there telling yourself that you don't know whether it'll work or not, so therefore you're afraid to try. You have to move forward. But this is human nature. This is human nature. This is what the enemy uses against us. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have that life more abundantly. He comes to give us those things that brings joy into our life. So when we are joyous, we are praising. You ever seen a person who is down on their dumps, down in the luck, everything is bad, praising God? No, they're moaning and complaining and whining and whimpering. You praise God when you're happy. And that's why he brought us life abundantly. I'm going to give you the poster boy for fear and doubt. The poster boy for fear and doubt, so that we'll see where he is and come out of that for ourselves. In the book of Judges, we find a young man by the name of Gideon in a wine press thrashing his wheat. He's got a perfectly good thrashing floor, but he's in the wine press thrashing his wheat. And why do you suppose he's doing that? Because he's afraid. He's afraid that if the Midianites see him thrashing that wheat, they will come over and take it from him. So he's hiding, thrashing his wheat, because he is afraid. And watch. It says that the angel of the Lord appeared to this young man in this wine press. And he said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Don't go to sleep now. Stay with me right now, because this is the most important part of the story. The angel of the Lord said to Gideon, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon answered the angel argumentative. He said, "If the Lord is with us," I hope you're listening, you see how he changed it. The angel said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said, "If the Lord is with us," you see, he don't want to be in it by himself. He said, "If the Lord is with us, then why are we having so much trouble? And where are all those miracles that my father told me about? Maybe the Lord was with us and brought us out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord has forgotten and given up on us. He's not with us no more." Do you see where we go when we go there? God is saying, "Here I am," and we're saying, "No, you ain't." And the angel again expresses with him, he says, "I'm with you, and I'm going to be with you and give the Midianites into your hands. You're going to defeat them." And Gideon says to him, wait a minute. He doesn't say these words. Bear with me while I add a few sentences into the Word of God. Gideon said, "I don't think you know who you're talking to." That's in essence what he said, because he said, "Are you going to give Midianite into my hands? I am from the weakest tribe in the nation, Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." He just said that I'm from the smallest tribe or the weakest tribe in the nation, because Manasseh was split, if you recall. One side was on one side of the Jordan, and the other half of the tribe was on the other side. So Manasseh was the smallest tribe in that realm. And that's what he's saying. I'm from the smallest tribe, the weakest family, and I'm the youngest son with the least power in the family. You've picked the weakest kid from the weakest family, from the weakest nation, and you're telling me I'm going to overpower all of those people out there. And he said, "I said that I'd be with you. Go in the might that you have." Go in the might. You see, the angel is prompting him to do what he can do if he go forth. He will never be able to do it if he stands there and doubt and be afraid and don't try. So he says, go in the might that you have. Go in the power that you have. I'm going to be with you. And he convinces Gideon to blow the trumpet, call the assembly, and just see what happens. Gideon blows the trumpet, and all of the people come, the Abizrites in his area, they come, and he sends messages out to every nation in that area. I think there was four of the tribes around him, sent messages out to them, telling them, come and fight the Midianites with me. Just sent it out. And 32,000 people showed up to fight. 32,000 people showed up to fight because he moved. I'm talking about, you see, we can have all the faith in the world, but if we don't act on that faith, then that faith won't work for us. James runs it down like, faith without works is dead. You have to move on the faith that you have. So he just put the word out. Go tell all these people that we're going to go fight the Midianites. You see, they wanted to fight too, but they were just afraid. All that they need was one person to bring it up. Are you that person? Are you that person? You see, you can help the whole city if you just stand up and say something. But God had a plan. God said to Gideon, he said, you got 32,000 people out there, and I know who you are, so that's too many people. If you win the battle with that many people, then you're going to go and say, we did it. We overpowered them. We overcame them. So you can't have that many people. So what did he say? He said, go out there. He's telling the poster boy, for fear and doubt, you go out there and tell them that anybody who's afraid to go home. And he's more afraid than anybody. So he goes out and tells everybody who's afraid, go home. And 22,000 of them go home. And he's left with 10,000. But God's not through with him yet, because he's not through with God yet, because now he's thinking, wait a minute. Do you really want me to go do this? Let me test to see if you are who I'm really talking to. I know some of you been there. Oh, come on, God. Let me test and see if you're really talking to me, if this is really you. He said, I'm going to put a fleece out tonight. And if the fleece is wet and everything around it is dry, then I know it's you. And that's what happens. He goes out in the morning and wrings a bowl full of water out of the fleece. So it worked, but no, no. That ain't good enough, because, you know, that just might have been a coincidence. Don't get mad at me, God, but give me one more test. This time I'm going to put it out. Let it be dry and everything else be wet. So he puts it out, and that takes place. Everything is wet, and the fleece is dry. Well, I don't know what else I can do, but let's see. So he goes back, and God says, you know, the 10,000 guys out there, that's still too many for you, because you ain't ready yet. You ain't ready yet. He said, bring that 10,000 men down to the water and let me separate them for you. Everybody drink from the brook, and all of those who get down on their knees and drink from the brook separate over on this side, and all the ones who take the water in their hands and lap it like a dog, put them on this side. And it says that 9,700 men got down on their knees and drank, and 300 were dog lappers. They lapped it like a dog. And he said, these are the ones. Take the dog lappers. Send the 9,700 home. Now Gideon is really concerned, and God tells him, he says, you know, come with me tonight down to the camp of the Midianites. You need to hear something, because you're still afraid. Gideon and his servant goes down to the camp, and they listen in, and two guys are talking. And one guy says, you know, I had a dream last night. A barley loaf of bread rolled down into the camp, ran into a tent, and just knocked it or wiped it out. The other guy said, you know what that is? That is the sword of Gideon. You know Gideon, Joash's son? That's who that is. God has given the Midianites into Gideon's hand and this whole camp. Gideon heard that, and he fell down and he worshiped God. You see how much it took to get him to understand his position in Christ. All of that. We go through that throughout our lives. He keeps pounding and pounding and telling us where we are, how we are, who we are, and we keep denying. No, I can't do that. I can't get up that early. I can't go to bed that late. I got to work tomorrow. I got to do that. We keep putting things aside rather than following the instructions of God. But Gideon worshiped God because now he sees that this got to be God. So he goes back and get with his 300 men, understanding now what the deal is. You see, that everybody who shows up when you put out the call, they ain't really with you. They show up because there's a crowd. Some just come to see what's going on, and some just show up because you said show up. But they're not really with you. They're not with your program. This is what God is showing you. You can draw a crowd. What you need is dog lappers, those who don't care, in other words. The 300 who pick the water and lap like a dog. They don't care what people say about them. Those are those peculiar people. They're strange. Those are the ones that they're going to talk about. Oh, they're crazy. Oh, the Bible thumping. You know, they think God's going to do. These are the guys you need. These unusual, peculiar fellows. So now he goes up and tell them, okay, it's time to go. We're going to go do this. Let's go do it right now. And he gives them their weapons to go to war with. He puts a trumpet in their left hand and a clay jar pitcher with a torch in it in their right hand. Now, see, if it had been that 900, 9,700, they would have been saying, well, where's the sword, Gideon? Where's the weapons? What are we going to fight with? Those dog lappers, they don't care. Yeah, give me this. I got a trumpet. Let's go. And they go to war with a trumpet in their left hand, a clay pitcher with a torch in it in their right hand. And Gideon tells them, when we get there, you got to do what I do. I'm going to blow the trumpet, break the jar, and yell, the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. It's around the camp, blow the trumpet, break the jar, and yell, the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. Wake up all of those Midianites, and they wake up fighting. But what are they doing? They're fighting each other. Because they see all of those flickering lights, all of that noise, and they think they're under attack. They fight each other, and some's running, escaping for their life. They're getting out of Dodge. He wins the battle without a weapon. But this is what God can do for you when you operate in His Word. He's telling what He says is, and there is no debate. So what we have to do, we have to understand that we have to operate in God's Word, in the whole Word. Not just the part, well, God, I can do this much, but I can't do that much. You got to go all the way. Operating in God's whole Word, that's what we have to understand. That we have to operate in His whole Word. And when we operate in His whole Word, then we have to watch and see what happens. See the salvation of the Lord is what He's asking us to do. Stop. Stop. Because, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And if God be for you, who can be against you? So stop. Stop. And listen. Listen. And He says, be still, my child. All is well. Be still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's what He's asking us to do. Be still so you can hear that still, small voice. It don't have to be a lot of noise. It don't have to be a great commotion. That still, small voice, that voice that will give you peace, that peace that passes all understanding, that satisfaction of knowing that you're not alone, that everything in your life is wholesome and whole and full of power because the Lord is with you. Stop squirming and kicking and bucking and fighting and worrying. Sin and wickedness is just like quicksand. The more you kick and squirm and wiggle, the deeper you get. If you be still, give God a chance to take you out of the muck and the mire. He will save you. He will save you. And that's His mission. That's His purpose. That's what Paul is talking about when he writes this letter to the Romans, and he says that nothing can separate you from the love of God. No height, no depth, no width, no principalities, no powers. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Because that's God's word and that's God's purpose. Many are called, but few are chosen. Why is that few chosen? Because only few choose him. Wide is the gate and the road to destruction, but narrow is that path to righteousness. Only a few, that those 300 dog lappers, few show up for the real thing. This is what he's asking us to be. Pay attention to the word of God and walk in it, because he's provided it for you. And trust me, if you accept him, he has already accepted you. Did you know that he knew that you were going to be who you are before you got here? He knew you was going to be, I don't want to say what you might be, but I know what I was. So I'm thinking to myself, that if he knew that I was going to do all of that and still gave me a chance to be where I am today, then he's got to be God. So we love him because of who he is. We love him because of who he is. We love him because he first loved us. You see, to me, he is the Savior, because I was in that quicksand, wiggling, kicking. He had to force the rope in my hand to pull me out, just like Gideon. Everything came up, I had to. Oh, no. What about us? What about we? Or they? No, he's talking to you. You are the captain of your ship, and you have to stand before the throne of grace and give an account for what you did in this life. So listen to the word of God and function in God's realm. You know the will of God, righteousness and wholesomeness, purity. Evil, wickedness, and corruption. That's the only choices you got. There is no middle of the road. Well, I'm almost there. No, you're either there or you're not there. Because as long as you're on your way, you haven't got there yet. When you get there, you will know it. Because wickedness, corruption, and evil will become your enemy too. It will become your enemy too. God is love. God is love. This is what we have to realize. And because he is love, then that's all he has for you. Lo, I will be with you always until the end of the day. And if he be for you, who can be against you? And why would he give his only son so that we might live if he doesn't love us enough to give us all things? That opportunity to change our ways and come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That is what his purpose is. And I submit to you this morning and ask that if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and have yielded yourself to him, there is no better time than now. Now is the time, because he is a right now God. A right now God. He is, because he was, he is, and will always be. And he stands at the door and knock. And if any man open that door, he will come in. And that's his purpose. Therefore, he said, what should we think about these things? What should we think about these things? And what are those things? Those things are the things that he did to make provision for you to come to him. The calling, the predestinate and the foreknowledge. He knew you was going to be ugly. And you didn't let him down. But he forgave you and brought you into his kingdom, into his family, and loves you just as much as he loves everybody else. That is the God that we serve. So I ask you this morning to go in God and trust in him and be willing to surrender. Give up. Give up. I surrender all. I can do nothing of my own, but through Christ, all things are possible. That is what we have to face this morning. That is our decisions that we have to make this morning. And it's all up to us, because in the image and likeness of God, we get to choose. Amen? We get to choose. So God bless us this morning because of our indifference. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Father, that you are a God of mercy. We thank you that your mercies are new each and every day. We ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will give us the boldness to walk in the way that you set out for us to go. Help us to be, Father, those dog lepers who we just don't care what people think about us, but we seek you in all that we do. And whatever we do, Father, we do in you, knowing that you are with us. We thank you for the opportunity to present you to those who don't know you. And we ask you, Father, to bring them across our path so that we can enlighten them, so that we can give them what we got. And we ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to go before us and behind us, keeping our feet on that narrow path of righteousness, guiding us in the way that we should go, helping us to be all that we can be. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.